This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your hosts, Jim and Tom. And after a 1 week break, we are back and we've got a ton of stuff to talk about. We've got two trailers, some casting news finally from Marvel, and then a little bit of a discussion about Disney's latest attempt at a live action movie with Mulan. So let's just jump right into it. Let's start with Dune. We got the trailer. It seems to be, I thought it was going to be the last big movie of 2020, maybe the only big movie of 2020, but Wonder Woman got pushed back to Christmas, so 5 days after, or a week after Dune comes out. What'd you think of the trailer?
I a big fan of it. Huge cast. Tons of, it's one after another of things that we've wanted, or people we've wanted to see be together or be on the screen together. We want Aquaman and Drax to be in the same movie. We want, in this case, Thanos and whoever.
And Poe.
Yeah, and Poe and Stellan Star. No, I don't really care what he said, but.
He has the greatest entrance, I think, in any movie.
Yeah, yeah.
At least in this trailer.
And, you know, we're getting, you know, a lot of Warner Brother regulars and also a lot of, like, you know, some of the Marvel people and Zendaya and Brolin and Skarsgård. But, it's down the list. You can't it's a ton of heavyweights. And they could, you know, compete against each other. But, I the way Dune is, and I told you before that I am, I downloaded all the Dune audiobooks to listen to them. That's been just to reacquaint myself, get ready for it. The way Dune is, everybody, there is, I mean, Timothy Chalamet and Atreides is the main character, but everybody has an equal part in this play, this soap opera or space opera. The characters don't outshine each other, but they just happen to get, like, really great people to be in those, in those roles. So I'm really, really, really excited about Dune. And, I read the books before and, you know, I've listened to but the books are a multi-read. You could read the books as many times as you want and still find new stuff and new ideas. So I don't think it's too crazy to say I've read them before and I'm going to read them again and again and again. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, you and me both. I think the cast, number one, is what drew me in, right? I know about Dune. I've seen the 84 movie. I've seen the miniseries. I have yet to finish the books. I also have downloaded the 18 hours of the first book. Yeah. So I'm chugging my way along in that one. But the cast is, it's on one side, it's a great thing. But on another side, it kind of raises my guard because they could kind of compete for jockeying for screen time.
Yeah.
Because this is a bunch of leads. Could.
Yeah,
and it's like every geek's shopping list when Denis Villeneuve came out and got this cast, and it just, I want to know what the pitch was for this. Like, hey, this is going to be the biggest movie ever, because that's what it seems like. They got Timothy Chalamet, who's every year's award season, he's there. Zendaya, who's Golden Globe nominated. Oscar Isaac, who comes from a huge franchise, and everybody else that you said. So it's stacked, and I'm very curious to see how it works. But again, it's going to be a trilogy. It's a larger story. Some of these characters might go to the HBO Max series, Sisters of Dune. So there's a lot of,
like,
stuff
Rebecca
in the works.
Rebecca Ferguson's probably going to make way over there.
Yeah. Just based on the trailer itself, it looks great. It looks phenomenal. Like, shot for shot, it's a beautiful shot movie. And this is the same guy who, the cinematographer, who's doing The Mandalorian, which we're going to talk about next.
Okay.
He did Rogue One, He's doing the Batman.
Okay. That's pretty comforting. I mean, we know how great Mandalorian, whether he has been, I don't know if he, I didn't look into that, but we know that he's, Mandalorian has only done great things, so.
Yeah.
He'll, you know, probably be real great in that. Rogue One could be the best Star Wars movie in some people's minds. It is. That's yep. come out in maybe the last 5-6 years.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's close to, I think, I haven't sat down, but I'm probably going to come up with that as being my favorite. That's a good resume, and that's a pretty powerful resume for him.
Yeah,
you could see it on the screen. It looks pretty fantastic.
Yeah. And the tropes, there's a lot of Easter eggs in the trailer. The biggest one, not even an Easter egg, but the big reveal of the sandworm. What did you think of that? How the design of it?
They're such a integral part of they're the, and I was thinking as because it is like, I think it's a 3.5 minute trailer. You go, where the hell is the sandworm at? We all know you don't. I mean, it's one of those things where you watch the trailer and you're like, why are you hiding it from me?
Yeah,
we know it's going to be in Dune. I mean, that's the major part. And then they get to like the last 10 seconds, like, oh, that's it, finally.
Yeah.
And the design for the sandworm, I mean, that's one of those things that's got to be 100% CGI, I guess. I mean,
it's maybe Sean some up Gunn close dressed in green suit, just jumping out of just, the sand.
He's doing the worm.
Yeah.
It looks great. I mean, we have to really get into, like, the anatomy, like they do in the books, and see what they do with that, and how like, you know, the religions around it and everything. You know, I'm sure they'll get into it.
Yeah.
But it does look great. I actually liked, back in the TV series, long ago, I actually liked what they did for the sandworm. It was different, because it was, like, practical, but they had to, like, shoot sections at a time. It was one of the only parts that I didn't hate immensely, but it was still a stretch for the time frame and the budget for them to pull that off. But they did a decent job. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I'm very, very excited. Now, the big question is, does this get delayed?
Who knows? I mean, it sucks.
It seems like a cop-out. Where do you think it goes? Do you think it's 2021?
I'm saying no. Okay. No. I think... Well, okay. A caveat would be is what happens in the next month with theaters being open. They just opened here, and we're probably the strictest state in New Jersey. You know, New Jersey being probably the strictest state so far.
Yeah.
For COVID, nothing was open. Everything's open less. So we'll see. As long as there's no major outbreaks and we're controlling it and. If I look at Facebook for 10 seconds, I'll lose all my faith in humanity.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I think it could go on. I think it's too late in the game for them to switch it to a platform, a streaming service. So
it's Warner Brothers, they'll never do it.
Yeah, if it doesn't make it in the theater, then they will postpone it, but I'm hoping they don't. And I think if it does make it, it's going to be the biggest movie of the year. Again, caveat, asterisk, of a real shitty year, but...
Yeah. After seeing that trailer, if this were a normal year, a movie year, I think it would have won the year. And I know I'm banking on nostalgia, but after seeing this trailer, before going in, I said Eternals was going to be the big movie of the year, but Dune was top four. Now seeing it, I think it beats No Time to Die. I think it beats Black Widow, and I think it beats Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
So if this were normal 2020, no Star Wars, really no competition other than like Oscar noms, I think this could have been close to knocking on the door of $1 billion.
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, definitely. Good thing or bad thing? This is long awaited. This isn't like. this isn't, we did Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted, people want it, but it wasn't a waited. We were just, it was a thing. If it happened, yeah, it happened, nice it'd be great. But this was like, we had two iterations that people did not like. And Hubert didn't like when it first came out. So we wanted something as close to the books as possible, and just get, you know, give us something that we, as great as the books are, just give us a piece of that. Like, you know, what they did with Lord of the Rings. We know you can make an adaptation. Lord of the Rings was a great adaptation. Harry Potter too. I wasn't a huge fan, but Harry Potter was a great adaptation. So just give us that. Yep. For this book, and that people have been begging for it. And like you said, no Star Wars. And not only is there no Star Wars, there's no cry, there's no yearning for Star Wars. Star Wars has lost all its street cred. So we need something to fill, to come in and fill that gap. And this is something that's been around almost as long and has put out as much material as Star Wars has. And, you know, the books were fantastic. So this could easily slip into that Star Wars void in our hearts. Yep. and make a ton of, it won't this year, but it could potentially make a ton of money in the future.
Yeah, it could definitely redefine sci-fi.
Right.
And that's what we need. We need good sci-fi. But let's move from Dune and let's move to Star Wars, because although we're not getting a movie this year, we're getting a second season to what many are thinking is the best iteration of Star Wars in general, and that's The Mandalorian. We finally got a trailer. Yeah. We know that there's a lot of characters that are scheduled to debut. Sabine, or possibly Sabine, Boba Fett, Ahsoka, Rex potentially, Bo-Katana. There's a lot of characters in this that were not, when we saw the trailer, or when the trailer came out, I was like, please don't show, please don't show, please don't show. I want that to be the payoff of the episodes. And they didn't. But they alluded to Sasha. Well, they showed Sasha Banks, who's like crouching down between like some boxes. Do you think that she's going to end up playing Sabine?
I think so.
I agree.
I can't. Well, okay. For those who have, we're going to spoil the trailer if somebody was avoiding watching it. Spoilers alert for the trailer. The way they talk about it, she is obviously, and what we see of, you know, they could be pulling a swerve on us in the end, but from what we see, they're talking about the Jedi at the time.
And they're sorcerers.
And it rides that myth of the Jedi that we hear in the original trilogy, that all Jedis are a myth, and which is crazy that in less than 50 years they go from being, you know, like a mate, they, you know, basically run the galaxy to being a myth. I don't know how that happens, but that is how it happened in the movie. So I don't know. Yeah, I can't, the way they talk about her, and the things they show her do, which is not a lot. It's only literally her disappearing.
Yeah.
It's very Jedi-y and very gray Jedi. Or, you know, someone not of the order necessarily. Yeah. So it could
be. Do you think... All right, so let's say you said there could be a swerve. Do you think that this swerve could lead to Mara Jade?
I would love it. I don't know if they've... I don't know what they get by introducing her in this.
Yeah.
You know, she's the future, once was the future wife of
Luke.
Luke. And now we know that never happens. Or maybe it does, and he left her.
Yeah.
They never said one way or another, and he maybe would never talk about it in the future. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm going with Sabine for her.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think if you introduce Mara Jade,
that's a big part for her.
Yeah,
for Sasha Banks,
for never acting. Yeah. I get, you know, I know she does promos, and I guess the screen time minus the ring time is acting. And she's probably been in like a 12 blocks or whatever. But yeah. I think that this is – it's a huge role. She absolutely had to crush the audition. So they don't just bring people in to say, oh, well, we owe WWE a favor. I don't think Disney owes Vince McMahon any favors.
Disney, so, man, you know, and that's the thing is you're not trying to win any fanhoods over, you know, like they don't care.
Yeah.
They have fandom. They don't need to bring in new fandoms. So, yeah, she would have had to go in on merit. And potentially, it could potentially be multi-episodes and then multi-seasons with her. So
yeah, or a spinoff into the Ezra, the proposed Ezra and Ahsoka series.
Yeah, yeah.
Which so. I'm glad, it brings me to the point that I'm super glad they didn't show Rosario Dawson's Ahsoka.
No. That could potentially be people don't really know. I mean,
I feel like that reveal has to be special.
Yeah.
It should be in the episode that she's in.
I don't want to see her at all until the day of, like, or until we're watching it. You're right. It can't be. Everybody knows it's happening, but it doesn't mean that we actually have to see it happen. You know,
exactly.
Like, give us something.
And, like, I like to the trailer's point, I like that they showed a lot, but not a lot. They just showed a right. lot of Mando and the child on their little adventure. The biggest thing besides Sasha Banks was there's Gamorrean guards fighting in UFC-style fights. So I was cool with that. I'm glad that this is what we were left with. So, like, flashbacks to what happened. Carl Weathers with a super gray beard and a little bit of Gina Carano, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. They hit, like, the big points of, you know, that's the way and all that stuff. So just enough for you to you know, to hang in there and want to watch it and then get out real quick. Yeah. And this was a minute and 53 seconds, whereas, like we talked about with Dune was 3 minutes and 15 seconds. But like we said, for Dune, where we were talking to each other before, loved every second of Dune. This was the same way. It's like, it was a perfect amount.
Yeah.
And I have just as much, like, well, only because we know what they did with the first season. I'm ready for this. Like, this is another thing that I really need to make me happy. So.
Yeah. Less than a little bit over a month, October 30th. We get that first episode. I can't wait. And, I read a rumor on one site, and I couldn't, like, I did my, you know, I traced it and tried to find more, that Pedro Pascal quit The Mandalorian midway through season two shooting because he didn't like the costume, but nothing else. It was on, like, a third-party, like, Facebook ad, and I was like, this has to be bullshit. So I, like, went to my sites, I went to Twitter, I went to all the other sites, and there's no rumor about that. So I think all is well in that.
He ain't going to quit a giant paycheck over a tight fit and outfit and never see his face. But
I think that was the point. He wanted to show his face more, and the helmet was claustrophobic.
You knew what you were getting into, and if that was the case, you're easily replaceable
he does like 30% of the scenes. He just does the voiceover. Yeah. It's John Wayne's grandson and some other guy who are doing the stand-in scenes. So they can go and get the guy from Doom Patrol, who fills in for Brendan Fraser, and he could be the or John Wayne's grandson can do it. But I'm excited for both of these trailers.
Yeah.
We've got some news, good news in general.
Went from nothing to two big things right away with who we're about to talk about.
Yeah, we got two castings, and DC's kind of like been owning the last 2 months with fandom because they've showed Batman and Suicide Squad, all that stuff. But we got two final castings. One was kind of expected, as far as, like, we knew this character was coming. She had a series with She-Hulk.
Yeah.
But this character, I had no idea he was going to come this quick.
In this
fashion, we got the Kang casting of Jonathan Majors from Lovecraft Country. And he's coming in Ant-Man 3. What did you think?
Well, first of all, I haven't watched too many things with him. I don't know if I watched anything. Not because of him, only because so many other things going on. I hear great things about him. You've told me he's a great actor. So I don't hate that. I don't know. I can't say good or bad things about him. I'll catch up on Lovecraft Country to see. What I will say about Kang is that makes me really excited.
Yeah.
There is no limitations to where Kang can go. I don't know what his full run in the show will be, or the movies will be. Like, I don't know if he's a one and done.
I hope not. That would be such a waste.
He doesn't necessarily have to be, but he could be a Loki-esque character. And and the thing about him is, he's the reason. Okay, he's Fantastic Four mostly, but he's got a huge, he's been with Doctor Doom. He's been with the Avengers. He went back in time, and started and Sabineur on his path with technology. So he could be an introduction of
literally everything.
And then X-Men. So then we have Iron Lad. We have all kinds of stuff that because he's time traveling and multiversal, he could potentially, it was alluded to in the comics that he is an ancestor of Reed Richards. So that could be a way we introduce Fantastic Four. Any which way you shake it out, he could be the answer to a lot of questions, or he could open the door to, like we said, the next phase is going to be populated by X-Men, Fantastic Four, and still the Avengers, whatever, but and Guardians. He could easily be that guy that pulls it all together. Yeah. The prelude to something big, and maybe that something big is either Secret Wars, or it's Doctor Doom is your big bad, your Thanos character, or whatever. And we've went over it a million different times how we think they all tie in, but this is big. I think it's huge.
Yeah, when this happened, I knew you'd be pumped because you've been a pro Kang as the next villain.
Oh yeah.
Since Endgame, like since they announced that Thanos was going to be the big bad, and we knew what was going to happen in Endgame, you've been pro Kang. And yeah, every point that you hit on is exactly what I was going to hit on. It could usher in, like, everybody thinks Fantastic Four is this it. This is the introduction. I don't think that we see the Fantastic Four, or they get, like, the family gets introduced. I think the name gets introduced, Richards name.
The Richards, yeah.
Exactly.
Because he's an ancestor, I think, yeah.
I've been more on the fence that this is more of an X-Men lead-in with Insabinor.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, too. My only reservations about him potentially, coming as Rama Tut, which is what was his name back when when we meet Insabinor, is that we just saw Apocalypse.
Yeah.
But we are talking probably a movie. If they did it, they should do it and just be a movie about Insabinor and turning into, I don't know if it can carry its own movie.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to. We're talking about a movie that's probably going to happen in 5 years if it does happen. You know what I mean? At least. So we are going to be like 10 years removed from the last Apocalypse movie that you saw, which I think that could work great in their favor.
Yeah, they could bring Oscar Isaac back and really do it right. You know,
they already got him in the fold, so.
Yeah. I don't think. Personally, I don't think we see Rama Tut. My theory is based on where he's going to appear in. And I think because it's Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think what we're going to get is we're going to get Victor Timely. And Timely was at, like, you know, how he started Timely in Wisconsin. I think that Timely, the city itself, is going to be a city in the quantum realm. And we meet Victor Timely as, like, we meet Kang as Victor Timely, not as Kang.
Right.
And he appears as Jonathan Majors in normal, right? No makeup, no prosthetics, nothing like that. We meet Jonathan Majors as Victor Timely.
Yeah.
And he goes on to maybe assist Ant-Man and Wasp, and then they find out that he's not a quantum traveler, because, like, he could be introduced with a suit on, with a purple or blue shield.
Well, that's the thing about him. I mean, what do we have? We have We have Kang in a lot of different iterations. We have
Immortus.
Immortus. We have Rama Tut, Iron Lad, Kang the Timely. Conqueror, Victor Timely. He could show up in every different movie
as someone else.
As somebody different. And almost like a Galactus type of feel, like he looks different to everybody, and everybody we're only speculating, but Ant-Man could eventually have a conversation with Reed Richards or somebody from the Avengers about this guy Victor Timely he met down there, and you know the technology sounds like something that they saw with Iron Lad or X-Men see with Rama Tut and, you know, I don't know how we get into Immortus, but he is a timekeeper, so he could come out and play a part in that. So he could appear different to everybody, and we could hear so many different ways, and we do see his face, at, you know, 10 different ways, 10 different times, and then eventually down the road we get him in his purple and green suit, his, you know, his anti-radiation suit. There's so many different things that we could do, and he is a time traveler, so we've been introduced to it. So
yeah, and he, like you said, he could pop up anywhere, and every time that the multiverse or time stream is changed, there's another Kang. That's why there are so many. So you have Ant-Man in the Quantum Realm. You have Avengers when they go back and put the stones in. You got Doctor Strange doing the multiverse stuff. Scarlet Witch and WandaVision's doing multiverse stuff. And then all the Loki stuff, because he's going to be jumping through time. So there's a lot.
And another thing is, he discovers his time travel. The way he learns that time travel, here's a spoiler for Kang the Conqueror, is he steals... he doesn't steal, but he uses Doctor Doom's technology. Mm-hmm. So we could see him in the future, in a couple of years, you know, stepping into a Doom machine, one of his you know, and it says Doom or whatever, yep. Property of Doom sticker on it. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a Deadpool crossover.
But anyway, we could see something like that where he's like in the 40th century, he's in a Doom time machine, and that's how you introduce Doom, and that's how you introduce everything that we move into in the future. So it's, I don't think people know how big it is, but it is a lot bigger than it might be the biggest release they could have done right now, because
this is huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
For comic book fans itself, it's huge. It's worrisome to me because it's Ant-Man, and Ant-Man has a tendency to kill off the villains right at the jump. You know, we saw Yellowjacket die. Ghost became a good person. What's going to happen with Kang? Is this, you know, do we see the demise of Victor Timely or whoever
we're
going to see?
But even if we do, it's not, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. It, like you said, Loki, he's very much Loki.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is great.
Loki can't die. It's the same thing as even if he does die, or you know, he exists somewhere else, or he's going to move on, or that was a shadow or whatever. So, I think he's just going to keep popping up, and that's the thing about him is people are going to have the conversations of like, I just had the craziest thing happen to me. Like, I ran into this guy, and that's how this all starts. So
yeah. As for the casting, I think Marvel has a great job at eyeing up-and-coming talent, and I think Jonathan Majors is that up-and-coming talent and is destined for big things, so I'm glad he's part of this MCU. Speaking of up-and-coming talent, or destined for great things, we're going to go to She-Hulk, who was finally casted. A series that I think has been announced for 2 years now, maybe three, and everybody from Allison Brie to Angie Dickinson Angie Harmon were... rumored to be casted or wanted to play this. Angie Harmon's been positioning since the 90s. But we finally got casting news, and it's Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black and Perry Mason. What do you think about it before I start gushing over the casting?
I have limited knowledge of her. I know her from Orphan Black. I haven't watched Perry Mason, but it made me question, I think I asked you, what do you think if they go the route of what they did with Mark Ruffalo, whereas really doesn't matter, they're just going to CGI everything anyway, then it doesn't really matter who they put in that position, just as long as it's a good actress. But Jennifer, what's her name?
Walters.
Walters, doesn't really change physically too much. She doesn't like grow as big and disproportionate. So she's, I just didn't see her as physically fit in the role.
Yeah.
But like I said, they could change that. And I liked her in Orphan Black, and I liked her, you know, when I sat down, I thought about, I was like, for at least the first season, like what I asked you is, we're probably not going to see a ton of She-Hulk.
Yeah, I said 60-40. So
they're going to ease you into this transformation. And if that's the case, I'm all right with that.
So. Yeah, that is a little worrisome because She-Hulk's a monster. She's buff as shit. So, of course, you want it to cast like everyone's like Gina Carano would have been perfect because you just slap some green paint on her and you've got She-Hulk. Yeah. But that's not the thing. Like, you have to be a good actress. And I'm not saying Gina Carano is a bad actress, but she's a limited actress at this point. We haven't really seen her in exposition and a bunch of dialogue. But with Tatiana Maslany, I think what sold Disney and Marvel was not only is she a great actress, Emmy Award-winning, Golden Globe Award-winning actress, but she's played multiple characters in the exact same series. I think she had like 15 roles in Orphan Black. And I feel with She-Hulk, you have to really have to jostle two characters. It's a very split personality. It's James McAvoy definitely. In Split, where she's going to be Jennifer, and then at a drop of a dime, she's going to be She-Hulk.
Right. And
I think that's what got it.
I'm slowly talking myself into this, and I'm coming... I'm beating some of my reservations as we talk about it. And the thing that we always say is, like, why Harmon couldn't do it is because she's older. She's not old. She's older. And we need to look into potentially every one of these people that comes into one of these shows or movies has to have a good 10 years in them, maybe looking relatively the same. Yeah. You know? We struck gold with everybody in the MCU not aging much in 10 years, you know, or them using that, you know, for stress related purposes and making, you know, Cap look older because of what he's going through. So she's younger, and that's what's important. Is like she has time for this to become a substantial series and maybe movies and anything else, but she has a ton of time, and that's the important thing. Is like we can't play that down. That's as important as anything else. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, just going off of like how you and I talk and how me and my other guy friends talk about castings, right? We're always like, when the women get cast, and I'm not trying to go on a soapbox here, but when the women get casted, it's always like, man, are they going to be able to really put on that muscle? Like, you have to get Charlotte Flair or like a professional wrestler to play these characters because they're larger than life. Or like China, RIP, would have played She-Hulk, right? But we never say that about the men. Like, you see Chris Evans, he was never Captain America big. And Chris Pratt was, you know, dad bod galore, and he buffed up. So it's the same thing. We just have to... She's going to get her superhero diet, and she's going to get her superhero work training, and she's going to come in tone as hell, and she's going to crush it.
Yeah. It's true. We you know, probably to a certain degree, don't even want them to pack on any muscle, and it sucks to say that, but, I mean, it's kind of true. It's like...
Some people get a little intimidated by a...
Yeah, it's true, and she's got time. What's good is, you know, the positives that she has going into this before we even talk about her physical attributes, and I'm not talking about TNA here, I'm just talking about, you know, does she match the character? She's young and she can act. She's a really good actress.
Yeah,
and she's young enough to carry the series for years. So... You can't, yeah. I mean, we all based our picks off of, what's his name, putting Rosario Dawson in the you know, drawing that
in the Ahsoka
outfit. Fanfic. Yeah, so I'm not upset by it. I think, you know, just like Mark Ruffalo is not 8 foot tall, and green. They'll make up for her transformation into She-Hulk by and that's the thing is, I hope we don't get. There's a She-Hulk that is way like 90s sexed up and gross. I hope we don't get that. I hope we get kind of the one that's going now is more like just muscular. She's like,
well, the one now that is the current one is maybe 4 feet wide.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she's on like on TRT and like all the steroids. Are you talking about the one with I think the one I'm thinking of too is she wears like the wrestling singlet.
Yeah, yeah.
And like she's lean but she's muscular.
Yeah.
And it's not like deep cleavage, it's not a thong, it's a very tasteful outfit.
Yeah, like right around when she joined Fantastic Four for a couple issues.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's basically she wore like a swimming outfit, it looks like. It was actually one of the, oddly enough, it was one of the more tastefully done comics in the, you know, coming into the 2000s, late 90s, because usually it was just nonsense. But, she, and that's what I that's the, with, when I look at her, Tatiana, I don't think we could go into the current day She-Hulk proportions. And for it to, like, make sense. Yeah, but I do think that we could pull off, you know, the early 2000s She-Hulk.
I agree.
And we don't, you know, we've avoided all of the comic book proportions with all the women actresses so far. So that's not a concern. I just, you know, getting taller and broader and stuff like that. And I would have just, when I originally was thinking of casting She-Hulk, it was somebody that could go right from Jennifer Walters into She-Hulk and just basically have turned green.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist too many places, but if you do go with the leaner route, there is a few people that could have pulled it off, but
yeah,
we'll see what she could do. You know,
yeah,
she's got a lot going for her, so.
Yeah, she wasn't my pick, but she's been my pick for so many other things. I've been a fan of her since Orphan Black, but like I would thought like, Stephanie Beatriz was a good choice. Betty Gilpin.
Yeah.
But I'm 100% on board with Tatiana Maslany. I'm super stoked for this. I'm very excited. Can't wait to see what they do.
Yeah, me either. All
right, let's go to DC, and then we'll end up in we'll finish our trip in China. Henry Cavill, man, he's back. He's going to do three appearances as Superman in three movies. What do you think?
Now, I was just excited to hear the news, and it is right now that I'm thinking, I want, is that as in three Superman movies or in three movies total?
Three movies total.
So that could be like Aquaman, it should be in Shazam.
Black Adam.
Black Adam, or maybe a one-off, like when I have it all figured out, do Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
But, because they have all the pieces for that. Or
Injustice.
Injustice, yeah. I am excited. I didn't like all the movies as much as a lot of people, but I always liked Henry Cavill as Superman.
Yeah.
There are very few people that could pull it off as well as he did. And still, like, be as huge as he was and proportionally, you know, right to the comic books, and still actually really act as, you know, give it 110% as a good actor. So I think he pulled that off great, and you know, they didn't always give him something great to work with, but you know, he at least did his best.
Yeah. So I'd like to see two appearances, maybe the Black Adam movie and maybe a long further down the line Justice League movie, and then I'd like to see Man of Steel 2.
Okay.
I'd like to see him end his run with a definitive closing point. Not be left in limbo like we were for up until 3 days ago. I want it to be like, this is the end of Superman, whether it's the death of Superman and that's it. And we don't, we already saw that. I don't want to say it again. Never mind. But if he just pisses off and he goes to Metropolis and lives his life with Lois, then I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. If they could write, like, somehow him losing his power like he does with the, you know, basically at the end of Superman or Smallville, or even in like Superman 3 or whatever it was, or something like that. Even I think it's been everywhere that he loses his power somehow. I wouldn't even mind that. But he does need an ending to his Superman saga.
Absolutely.
Because it's been so weird and disjointed. And I still think there are some, well, in all the weirdness and craziness that is DC, because there is still a lot of that, he's still he is the shining star. Like, you could see, like, he runs through all the movies and iterations, and so it's kind of comforting to see his face show up, as dumb as that sounds.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're like, I recognize, at least I know, you know, we're in Flashpoint, whatever, or, you know, the fifth iteration of Batman, but at least, you know, Henry Cavill is recognizable. I know who he is, so.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's what happens.
And he was there before it all. Like, he was the beginning of the DCEU as it is. So he deserves his movies, he deserves his screen time. And I hope it's not just the Snyder Cut is part of that deal. I hope it leads to like a final Justice League movie with this cast where Brainiac comes down and they have to fight Brainiac.
Yeah.
And that's it. But I don't know, we'll have to see. I'm just happy that we got that. All right, let's go to a movie review. We're going to talk Mulan. 75% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, 51% in our hearts as viewers. Directed by Nico Caro and starring Iffy Liu and Jason Scott Lee and so many others. But what did you think of the movie?
Hated it.
Oh.
I think it's the worst movie that Disney has put out this year. And maybe, no, it's definitely not the worst movie this year, but it's definitely my least favorite movie Disney's put out this year. And I think it's the worst adaptation they've made, live action adaptation.
Okay.
Easily the worst. Beats Aladdin.
Yeah. Well, definitely beats Aladdin.
It's worse than Aladdin. It's for me, it's worse than all those movies, except for, Jungle Book is where they should have stopped with these live actions.
I agree.
But then again, you come out and Jungle Book's really amazing. Everybody's like, oh, they'll love them all. And then I just don't think they've found that. I don't think they've been able to do that. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the opposite end, but the more I think about it, the more I start to agree with you. If this, and this is what I've told people before, when I saw it, I thought visually it was beautiful. The landscapes, the shots, I love the witch coming in and turning into the Hulk and turning into herself. And, you know, I really, really like that. Oh, yeah, spoiler alert to follow. A little late, but we're here. I also liked, I don't know, I liked everything about the scenery. That's the main thing.
It's gorgeous. Makes China look beautiful.
Right? If this,
I'm sure China is beautiful, I'm just saying.
Yeah. If this weren't a Disney adapted movie, and this were just a standalone new Asian movie, or Asian-centric movie, I think I would have liked it. Because although it wasn't in Chinese, and although there wasn't a ton of action, I thought the story was good, but then you remember that this is an adapted 90s story where there's an important scene where she cuts her hair, and there's a red dragon, and there's a small cricket, and there's so much more, and there's so much more hiding who she truly is other than just you didn't take a shower joke.
Yeah.
And then it gets
where I think, I mean, there's a lot for me that falls apart, and like, the original Mulan was, she overcame all these deficits of not being able to compete with men and joining the army by working out and getting better and training And it was like a really like G.I. Jane type of thing. She got better because the message was, if you work hard, you can get better. You're not
defined by your gender.
And it works for everyone. This movie had changed that to the only way that you could fight in a war with a man is if you have special witch powers and are the chosen one.
Yeah.
And I think it changes the whole dynamic of the movie and makes it takes away what Mulan was good for. Its whole message. And I don't understand why they did that. I also don't understand why they took the music out of the movie.
Yeah, no songs. Until the end. You hear Christina Aguilera 20 years too late trying to belt out a song.
Yeah. I don't know why they took out Mushu.
That was stupid. If you're going to include a phoenix, I mean, we don't have to have a live-action tiny little dragon running around talking in her ear. But if you're going to include a phoenix, why couldn't you just swap that out for a dragon?
Some people go, they're making it more realistic. Maybe that was the path. But if you're going to make it more realistic, you included a shape-shifting witch.
Yeah.
And chi.
Yeah.
Gigantic battles where nobody bleeds.
Yeah, it was very Twilight-like, where nobody bleeds. Yeah.
I don't know how that happens and why you think it's... I mean, they replaced Cricket with a guy named Cricket.
Yeah, but a fat loser named Cricket, who turns out to be, like, the most badass archer in all of China. Yeah. Like, he's crying... carrying the water up, and now he can shoot double arrows and curve arrows like it's wanted. Oh, now you're talking me into hating this movie. My rating is not high on this, but...
And I think, okay, there's a lot not to like, in my opinion. The biggest omission is I think it is a more glaring omission by Ming-Na Wen only having one line.
Yeah.
Then just why even put her in a movie? Like,
it was
just kick her out.
It was just that was for us because we knew that was Mulan.
But she deserves more than a line.
She didn't even look happy delivering that line.
No.
It looked like they called her in for like 20 seconds and like delivered this line and we're going to take what you get. And she's like, Mulan, your majesty. And like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, remember me? Like, yeah, I remember you were the better Mulan. That's what you made me think now. I just would have rather had her. There's so many places for her. And we were talking matchmaker, the mother.
The witch.
The witch would have been great. Even though I did really like the witch. And I liked a lot of people. Like Donnie Yen I liked.
Yeah, Donnie Yen was great.
Lee Gong was great. Jet Li was great. I mean... But all these guys I just mentioned, and Ming-Na Wen, and...
Jason Scott Lee was awesome.
Yeah.
He was a good villain. Very good villain.
Unrecognizable for me, but...
Yeah.
But you have all these guys in there, and no real action.
Yeah, there was that one scene, and it was... I think the most action came from horseback riding.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of you'll climb the mountain and deliver this water scenes.
Oh, training.
A lot of that.
Jason Scott Lee played Bruce Lee. Donnie Yen, I can't. Donnie Yen is Ip Man. I don't. Jet Li, I know he's a little older now, and that's fine. I like seeing Jet Li in things, but there was a lot. I don't know.
There was really. It was more of. Disney's saying, I think, we can't get away with live action. We have to fill it with the stuff that made it popular when it was a kid's movie, but we have to take away the stuff that made it popular when it was a kid's movie.
But, I mean, Mulan was the only... I think this is true. She's the only Disney princess that's ever killed anybody on screen.
Yeah. Right? Unless Pocahontas did, but I don't think so.
I don't know. So, I don't know. There's a lot of weird things. And she's not technically... Is she a princess, technically?
Pocahontas?
Know. No, Mulan.
No, she didn't marry a prince?
Right, that's the whole point. She's just a regular... In the original, that was the whole point.
Yeah.
She was just a regular person.
Yeah, I think they made her seem like a regular person in this, and then they're like, oh, wait, you're either a witch.
Magic,
like,
powers.
Yeah, it's like either you're a witch or you're the chosen one. And it's like, no, I'm better than all of you. I'm absolutely, like, I've bested everybody in here. And
watch me do wire work.
Yeah, she saves everybody, starts an avalanche, and Donnie Yen's like, oh, get the hell out of here. You've got breasts, get out of here. And she's like, okay, cool.
I mean, that's probably the truest part of this.
Yeah.
Was like, oh, you're a woman? We can't have a woman here. You've dishonored your whole entire family and your village. I mean, obviously I had my problems with it.
Yeah. So that brings me to a question I want to ask you before we get to our review, or well, our rating. Should Disney give up on the live actions?
I want to say yeah, but there are things I would like to see them do and do well. And there's certain, this was weird by, I don't know if this wasn't bad because it was live action. This was bad because it excluded so much stuff.
Yeah.
Like the ancestors, the grandmother, it excluded the dragon, but it excluded music.
Yep.
But you don't give us a reason for any of that. You didn't tell us why you did any of those things. It was never explained. And then they took like a powerful message, and that was unique for a Disney movie in the 90s. Like, a woman can do anything. Because, I mean, that hasn't always been Disney's position.
Yeah.
You know, they were usually damsels in distress, almost all of them. And then this came out. And, you know, it was, I could do anything as good as they could. Just, you know, give me a time to train. And this was like, just let me, you know, find my power. But, this was bad because it was so off mark of what the original Mulan was and why it just didn't. It's like they never watched the original Mulan. You know what I mean?
It's like when Josh Trank did Fantastic Four and said, "I'm not using any source material."
Right. And instead of it just happens to also be live action. It wasn't bad because of being live action. It just happened to be. But I think there's things that only like. Or that Disney could do well if they really, really tried. And I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to see them do mermaids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, see what they could do with that. And then, yeah, I'm sure they'll mess that up too. But
I'm kind of amazed that wasn't the first one that they did.
Yeah.
You know, like, look what we can do. We can reinvent underwater movies.
Yeah. I would like to see a little bit of a darker Snow White and all these other things, but I don't know. I don't trust that they can deliver the package.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long they're going to be testing this out, because I mean, it's not, well, this year it's definitely financially not great for them, but I don't think it's been in the past either.
Yeah,
after
Jungle Book. After Jungle Book, like, that's my main thing. Like, I haven't loved a Disney live-action movie since Jungle Book. I wasn't a fan of the Maleficent. Like, Maleficents were good. I wasn't a huge fan of them. Yeah. Lion King was all right. Aladdin, I wasn't a fan of. This, I wasn't a fan of. Artemis Fowl, I wasn't a fan of. Now you have Jungle Cruise. But so now you're making movies about rides. There's a lot of stuff, like... Could they do, I mean, they'll eventually probably do a Frozen movie. They'll eventually do Little Mermaid. They'll eventually do Princess and the Frog and Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if they'll ever do Pocahontas, to be honest with you.
It's too insensitive.
Yeah. That movie doesn't hold, that can't hold up. But I don't know what their plan is moving forward. I know they're going to do a female-led Pirates of the Caribbean movie that I don't want to see because I'm over the Pirates movies. And they kind of lost their luster. So as far as the Disney exclusives that they're putting out, I haven't been a fan of a lot.
Right.
But luckily they have Star Wars and Marvel, because I love those movies. But I'm not loving their original stuff.
No. I can't tell you.
Live action Bambi in the works now.
Oh, man. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Potentially the saddest scene until Up turned around or came around. There was no sadder scene than Bambi's mom dying.
Yeah, in Disney, that's absolutely right.
So I don't know. I don't know what they do next. The way Disney works is they have 13 movies already cooking.
Yeah.
They, you know.
Live action Ratatouille.
Yeah. I'd watch it. I love Ratatouille. Binks loves Ratatouille.
I watched it.
I must
have
seen it about 1,000 times. You've probably seen it in my house 1,000 times.
I probably have.
we'll see. We'll see what they do.
I'd like Disney to go out there and spend their Disney money and buy properties from the 80s or the 90s that didn't perform well and redo them. And I'm talking about two: The Neverending Story and He-Man.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
I'd like them to just go out there and say, we can do this better than anybody else. We hire Henson Company and they can do Neverending Story, and they let Kevin Feige run He-Man, and you're ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Do they have to get, what's his name? Did they have to get Kevin Smith involved?
No.
For He-Man?
No, maybe. I mean, we'll see how his animated stuff does.
See how it works out, yeah.
And he did meet with Disney for a movie pitch before, so we'll see.
I would like to see. There's things out there. I would like, I mean, they have the budget, and if they, you know, they're allowing The Mandalorian, which I for me is like, you know, we'll see. If they don't do rated R a lot, but they're going to be forced to in certain angles.
Yep.
They can't do another Deadpool without it being rated R. So, or Deadpool related movie, I think. So, I would like them to like do some grim fairy tales and take on like the real fairy tale stories.
So the stuff that they stole originally.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'd like to see them show the original fairy tales, not the Disneyed up fairy tales.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be different, but who knows what they're going to do? I don't. For some reason, nobody can do original material.
Nope. We've seen that. We are deep in reboot culture.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, some good, some bad. Everything that we talked about today is a reboot.
Yeah.
That could be the name of the episode. It's kind of a reboot of Boba Fett, and then it's kind of, well, Dune's a reboot / reimagining of two other series that / a book. So yeah.
She-Hulk's a reboot of the Hulk.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe. I mean, some of them we really do like, but in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot of reboots out there.
Absolutely.
People just can't, like, bad reboots. And I guess, you know, we were talking about Tenet earlier, and we'll eventually get to that. I mean, that's an original story, I guess, but.
Yeah, and it's a great original story. That's, I'm not going to give my rating on that, but what we should do is we should give our rating on this one. What do you give Mulan?
If what was Artemis? What did I don't know what I gave Artemis Fowl.
I think you gave it like a one.
Okay, then I'll give this a half.
Oh my god! Wow,
I really hated this movie.
Okay, I gave it a three.
All right,
middle of the ground movie.
I mean, the only reason it even gets a half is because of how beautiful it's shot and what it makes China look like, and it looks like they're real shots. It's not like it doesn't look like any of that CGI'd or touched up. I mean, sure, it's touched up in some way, but it's just really, you don't see that in a lot of Chinese shot movies or movies shot in China. You rarely ever see, like in Hero you did, only because of like the way they shot all those different like dynasties and stuff like that. But you rarely see that much color in a Chinese or a movie. That's over here, like an American movie shot in China.
Yeah.
So that's why it gets a half. I just can't... Any redeeming quality I could think of, I remember, oh, it was so much better in the original Mulan, and it just gets shot down in my brain. So,
all right.
I didn't like this movie.
All right. Well, a 3.5, a collective 3.5 between the two of us. But that's it, man. We're going to get out of here. Next week, maybe we can talk the latest Henry Cavill movie, Enola Holmes, coming to Netflix on Wednesday. Yeah. Maybe we can do a whole Netflix episode with Devil all the Time and Enola Holmes, since they'll both be out. But you can follow us on social media, the Galaxy Wars Podcast, support Active Geek every Wednesday. And next week, we'll be back with a fun little review of probably another reboot. Here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.